Wake up, it's warm outside. Time to wake up.
Broadcasting live from the Central City Radio Studios, it's the Jacqueline Nicole Show. With your host, Jacqueline Nicole, on King FM, a Central City radio station.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome again to the Jacqueline Nicole Show. I am so excited that you guys have been with me these last several weeks as I have been interviewing my guests that will be speaking at the Save a Life Tour, which is going to be this Friday on March 19th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Living Word Ahwatukee, which is in the Phoenix area. But if you guys are out of state or you cannot join us in person, we will be doing a Facebook Live that night. So I really hope that you guys tune in. It's going to be an amazing event. And I'm so excited to have all of the guests that we have been interviewing the last several weeks on the Jacqueline Nicole Show will all be present at the event. We're going to be doing some amazing Q&A. Tommy and Michelle Hunter are going to be doing the main message. We're going to have awesome raffle prizes, and there's going to be some food trucks and a band, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, with that being said, I'm super excited to introduce my guest, Kara Serrano, which her and her husband were actually on the previous Jacqueline Nicole Show that I did 3 years ago. And we won't talk too much about how we met, but I'm always excited because I actually met her and her husband, Eddie, when I was coordinating their wedding. And so they had popped on to kind of share their testimony as a couple. And so this time we're going to be talking to Kara and learning about her testimony. And then part two, which will be tomorrow night, her and her husband will be talking together. So I'm excited. So how have you been?
I've been good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I literally feel like those 3 years went by like a blink of an eye.
So fast.
Isn't it?
So fast.
So a lot of the guests may have not seen you and Eddie the previous time. So if you want to just fill our viewers in a little bit of who you are, and then we could get into your testimony after that.
Of course. Well, my name is Kara. I have not been born and raised in Arizona. I grew up on the East Coast. I moved to Arizona my sophomore year of high school. And I love it here. I'm totally a desert girl. I could never go back to the snow or the cold ever again in my life. So definitely love it here. I met my husband in high school as well, so we're high school sweethearts. And I'm a special education teacher. I've been a teacher for about 4 years now. I absolutely love what I do. I work with a range of ages. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
That's awesome. I actually don't remember that you were from East Coast.
Yeah.
Where?
I've been everywhere. So I was born in Virginia and then lived in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Colorado a little bit, and then settled in Arizona. I have family still in Pennsylvania, and then I have family that just moved to Florida too. So I'm kind of everywhere.
That's so cool. I don't remember you say, maybe you said that before.
I might have. I don't remember.
But I don't remember. That's so cool. I always get excited when I hear about where people lived or where they're from, because I was born and raised actually in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So I lived in Arizona my whole life. Yeah. So when people are from like anywhere else, I'm like, oh, tell me all about it. Like, what was it like?
What's the weather? Is it cold?
You know, it's like I feel so sheltered being in one place my whole life, so I always love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So one of the things that we're going to be talking about at the Save a Life Tour, and then some of the things that we've been talking about previously, is individual struggles on certain topics. And I know that you were sharing with me how you had struggled with depression and anxiety.
Yes.
And you were saying it's a little bit new, but did you want to share kind of like your testimony and heart, like how it affected you personally? Because I know that a lot of times people feel, if they're a Christian, that some things they shouldn't struggle with. But I feel like people forget that just because you've accepted Jesus into your heart doesn't automatically make you a perfect person.
Yep.
Because everybody needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And even when you accept him into your heart, I feel like becoming a Christian is more about humbling yourself to know that you can't make it in life without him. So it's admitting your weaknesses and your failures to allow Jesus to be your strength.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people that I've had conversations with, they will almost like they doubt their salvation because they think if I'm struggling with certain things, then God's mad at me or he's disappointed. But honestly, that's the opposite, because when we are struggling in certain things, God's heart, since we're his children, desires us to come to him. He mm-hmm. wants us to include him and not feel ashamed mm-hmm. for our weaknesses and our struggles. And so yeah. I just want to say that, because sometimes people think that these topics are only for people who are not saved, and mm-hmm. they think like, oh, well, if they don't know the Lord, of course they're struggling with that, which can be the case. But you know, I've loved Jesus since I was little, and mm-hmm. I struggled with it for a good portion of my life until I got older. So it's not anything for people to feel ashamed of, but, yeah. but for whatever reason, I just felt like I was supposed to say that as like a little clause. Yeah, yeah. So people listening, depending on what side of the fence they're on, mm-hmm. you know, they can have that in mind when they hear your
yeah,
testimony.
Yeah. No, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that has been a huge part of my struggle and my testimony. So just to give a little testimony of how my relationship started with Jesus, I grew up and I didn't really have one set religion. My dad and my grandparents were Catholic. I was confirmed in the Lutheran church. My mom was a part of a non-denominational church, and I knew about God and I prayed to the saints, and I was, you know, I did what I was told to do and how I was brought up. But it wasn't until in high school, when I moved out to Arizona, I was at a very low part of my life, and started at a new, brand new school, moved states, and just, it was a very difficult decision. And my mom kind of kicked my butt when I was kicking and screaming on a bus camp to go to church camp, and did not want to whatsoever. My high school self was like, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. You know, what are you doing? Turns out it was the best thing for my life. I met amazing friends that I'm still friends with today that introduced me to the Lord and showed me what life was like with him. So I asked God into my life in high school, got baptized shortly after with my mom in college, and I think I always thought that the second, like you said, you introduce Jesus in your life, then you're better. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you should feel no anxiety, you shouldn't feel sad, and it took me, I mean, even till sometimes last week, to remind mm-hmm. myself that it's okay to struggle. I can admit now, I think when I was in high school, it was really hard for me to see that I struggled with anxiety for a really long time throughout high school, throughout college. I would consider myself to be high functioning mm-hmm. in that case. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I would kind of push it away and be like, oh, no, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I feel a little anxious, but it's fine. And would see counselors on and off, but never truly focused on the healing part mm-hmm. and fully, you know, immersed myself in the healing. Right. So the anxiety, you know, if you don't attack what the root cause of everything is mm-hmm. and really seek that healing, it's going to be dormant.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was dormant for a while until it reared its ugly head. The last, I would say, 3 years, we'll talk a little bit more about this when my husband comes, but when I first got married, I had a lot of family members pass away in a very short amount of time. And it was just one after another, like struggling with cancer and watching them, you know, struggle. And it was my first time being introduced around death, really, to like close loved ones. And immediate trigger.
Yeah.
You know, immediately went into a really big depression spell and anxiety. And I will say, I'm glad that you brought that up in the beginning about how we can feel ashamed, or we feel like we're not supposed mm-hmm. to, you know, have these struggles. For me, the biggest struggle in my relationship with God that I feel the need to share is that, I would avoid God because of it. I literally felt like I could not go to God because mm-hmm. I felt so ashamed that I was depressed mm-hmm. and that I was anxious, or I had panic attacks. I felt broken. Mm-hmm. I felt not good enough. And even though when you read your Bible, you hear you are good enough, you are loved, Jesus died for you, he loves you. Mm-hmm. When you are so immersed in depression and anxiety, it feels so overwhelming. It feels so dark. And the enemy loves to hit those weak spots.
Yeah.
He loves to hit those. He knows your weak spots. He knows what you need to hear in order to avoid God, and that's what he wants ultimately. He doesn't want you to have that close relationship with God, and that was my biggest struggle, and sometimes still is.
Yeah.
if I'm being honest, you know, if I'm going through an anxious moment and I'm just feeling immersed in that, it can make me feel like, oh, I can't pray to God because I can't, you know, I'm broken. You know, I need to meet this expectation in order to be a godly person or a godly woman or a godly friend or a godly wife, you know? And so I really struggled with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's,
you know, what I was thinking when you were saying that too, is because, like, I even have areas in my life where I consider them, like, a bad habit. It's just something that has been, I don't know, it's, like, ingrained in you since you were little, and you're like, okay, it's not, like, a bad habit where it's, like, you know, could, like, ruin your life, but at the same time, you feel like it kind of gets in the way of you being, like, the best you that you can be. You know, it's one of those things that you just feel like your life would be better if you didn't have this bad habit. Mm-hmm. And so even when I would pray and I'd ask the Lord, it's like, oh, I'm like struggling in this area. I don't know why it's so hard for me to just like, I try to like break it and I'm struggling. Sometimes you feel like when you go to the Lord so many times and you just keep apologizing for the same thing like 100 times, you're almost like embarrassed to like even go to him again and say that you're sorry, because you're just like, I just said sorry to you 99 times.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel so...
5 seconds ago.
Yeah, and you just feel like, what is wrong with me? And then it's in those moments, and when you were talking, this is what I thought of. It's like if we have a debt, say there's a bill that is due, and I'm just making this up, but let's say you bought a piece of furniture because you got a new job and you had all this money and you're like, oh, I want to redecorate my room. So you buy this piece of furniture and it's expensive, but you feel you're confident that this job you have is going to pay for it, right? Like you're confident in your own ability to pay this off. And you're like, oh, it's fine. But you know, like, right then and there, you can't pay the whole bill, like, up front, so you're going to make payments on it every month. Well, then let's say you lose your job or you don't get the promotion that you thought you were going to get, or something could have happened in your life, and now you can't make that payment. And you're, like, embarrassed, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, what I was capable of doing, I'm no longer capable of it anymore. And you're not even in control because it's like unforeseen things came into your life, you know? And so it's like now you have the creditors calling you like every day and they're like, well, you made that promise. And so for me, it's like when we give our life to the Lord, like everybody is in debt because nobody is good. So I know in Romans, I always forget, and I just read it this morning too, and I think it's Romans 13, but it's definitely in Romans, so we know that for sure. But it talks about how not one person is good by themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of times people, they think, well, I do a lot of good things, like I give to charity, and, you know, like I help people cross the street if they're elderly and they're in a walker. And so you like come, you like measure yourself, well, at least I'm not doing drugs, or I don't have like an addiction like this person. Or we compare ourselves. But the thing is that just because society will deem certain things as big sins and then little sins, it's like if we struggle with like jealousy or envy, or we have unforgiveness in our heart, or even anxiety, right, or worry, it's like those are still considered sins to the Lord, like in ourselves, because God is so holy and perfect. Just breaking one of those one time would put us classified as a sinner. And so people know that we were in debt, and the penalty of our debt, of our sin, breeds death, separation from God. So when we go to ourselves and we're like, okay, God, like, I know I'm a sinner and I messed up, like, I need your help. Like, in my own strength, I can't pay off this debt, because just like that person who lost their job or the promotion or whatever they thought that they could do in their own strength to take care of that situation, they're no longer capable of doing it, you know? And that's where we have to realize, like, I'm not in complete control. God's in complete control.
Yeah.
And so Jesus comes, he dies on the cross, and he pays for that debt. So now we're debt-free, right? But sometimes we can treat God like he's that debt collector, where he still is expecting things from us that we can't, like, in our own strength, we can't give him. And then we always think God's mad at me or he's disappointed in me. And the reason why Satan lies to us so much is because he knows that there's strength in going to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I had to learn that too in these certain areas. And so God would just encourage me, like, you have to stop trying to be in control of the situation, because yeah. you trying to control, trying in your own strength to break that habit, you're not going to. But if you give it to me, and we have to fall into his arms of grace,
yes.
and yeah. love and acceptance, then he can help us through that. You know, and that's when I found where I would grow more, and then things start to, like, fall away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it becomes less and less of a problem, and I think a lot of that is just the more we know who God is and his character and how much he loves us, things become less and less scary.
Yep.
Or we don't have to, like, worry as much, because our minds have experienced that... that place of intimacy, like, from a heavenly father of yeah. being loved and accepted, you know? And yeah. I totally get it, because I went through, it was most of my life, I had anxiety and panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And so I had to diligently really seek the Lord in those areas. And over time, it wasn't like an overnight thing, but yeah. little by little, it would get less and less of an issue.
Yeah.
And you would get stronger in it. But I knew that the only way I was going to get better is I had to keep going to God over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Just like, and I've used this terminology in a previous one, but I love Rocky because I'm Italian. And so yeah. it's just like, Rocky's always good to bring up in any conversation. You yes. can never go wrong yes. with him. But it's just encouraging, because, like, he would say, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you just keep getting up. Mm-hmm. But God's your strength to get up.
Yep.
You know, because in our own strength, we probably would stay down.
Yep.
Right? Because the blows in life are too painful.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was really good, what you were saying. So what would you say for somebody who could be experiencing what you said that you're going through with the losing the loved ones? Because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, coming out of 2020, like, a lot of people have lost loved ones that were unforeseen,
yeah.
right? And it's yeah. not even just that, too. It's like, I mean, death is a normal part of life just because we're not, like, meant to live forever here on earth.
Yeah.
Like, our
yeah.
forever home would be in heaven with God.
Yeah.
But it's still hard because, like, you love that person and you don't know, like, I mean, for us being down here, because I've lost close people in my life too, and it's
yeah.
just like, okay, I have that comfort, I'm going to see them again one day, but it feels mm-hmm. like eternity because time down here is slow still.
Yes, yeah.
So what would you say to someone who maybe they lost someone they really love? Or they could just have an estranged relationship with somebody
yeah.
that they're close to, and they haven't kind of, like, been in close proximity with them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's causing them a lot of anxiety and
yeah.
depression, and they feel kind of like maybe God has abandoned them, or they don't understand, like, you know, this was such a good person. Why would
yeah.
God let that happen to them?
Yeah. Yeah. I know this, I don't know if this is the correct answer that anyone may be looking for, but for me, a big comfort was knowing that at the end of the day, it was a blessing for mm-hmm. them to go to
yeah.
heaven, you know?
Yeah.
And so we are on this earth and we feel that pain, and it's real, it's raw, it's painful, and it's hard to go through, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I had to remind myself, especially because a lot of my loved ones passed away from cancer.
Mm.
And so for me, a big part of it was reminding myself, well, they're not suffering anymore. They are yeah. completely healed the moment they entered that kingdom.
Amen.
And I had to kind of just get out of my own head
mm-hmm.
and try to get past, I don't want to call it selfish, because you need to grieve,
yeah.
you need to feel
yeah.
that pain, but also there is a selfish part of that, of, you know, that person's completely healed. I want to feel happy for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I get to see them again.
Okay.
My biggest advice, or what helped me, was counseling.
Mm-hmm.
100%. There is, I feel like, sometimes a taboo about seeking help. And it's just, to me, I would advise, even if you haven't lost a loved one, even if you're not struggling with deep depression or anxiety, everyone could use counseling.
Right.
Like, I just, the help was amazing. Once you find that right fit, that right person, that's another piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Don't just go through the motions with a counselor. If you're not feeling that vibe, don't stick with it, because you're not going to get the healing. So for me, it was about finding the right counselor and talking through some of maybe the root causes of that deep pain, or the, you know, the estranged relationship, even the distance, and how somebody may be feeling anxiety or depression. You know, that was even part of my counseling, was, you know, going through some trauma and some past relationships. And, that was where you can, work through your grieving, work through the pain, and have somebody by your side, you know, during that. So
that's good. Actually, I actually feel like my mom was probably my counselor during a lot of that, because she's just such a good listener.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have never been able to really talk to somebody as much as, like, with her. So maybe she was just, like, my free counseling.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, free is better. Counseling can be expensive.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Because she was just such a rock. So, that's Mom, if you're awesome. Listening, thank you for being my counselor.
Yes, wonderful mom.
I was like, for my whole life.
That's awesome.
I love everything that you said, and I want to save some of the other questions I was going to ask you for Eddie.
Okay.
I know he's going to be on for next week.
Yep.
I feel like I need a little sip of water, because I want to do a prayer, but all that talking gives you a scratchy throat. Okay, so I am so appreciative that you guys stuck with me and Kara for this episode. Tomorrow night, we're going to have part two. So Kara's husband, Eddie, is going to join her, and they're going to be talking about some of these topics, going through them together as a married couple. So if you are married or you're hoping to be married one day, I would definitely encourage you to stick with us for tomorrow night, because that is going to be some awesome tools that you guys can, you know, give others for marriage, because everybody could use marriage advice, I feel like. So I always love to end each episode with a salvation prayer. So if any of you guys have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, and after listening to Kara and I talk, you just feel the Lord's tugging on your heart, and you, or maybe you want to rededicate your heart to the Lord, you feel like maybe that was you, like how Kara was mentioning, she felt like she couldn't go to God for a period of time because she felt so discouraged. So if that's you, I just want to encourage you to say this prayer with me in your heart. And if there's anything we can do to offer some advice or assistance, you could always reach out to me, and I'd love to point you in the right direction. And thank you so much for sticking with us. So we will pray. So, dear Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity of fellowship that we've had between Kara and I, and with our viewers. And we just want to lift up your holy name. And I want to pray for each person that is struggling right now with anxiety or depression, and they want to accept Jesus into their heart to be their Lord and Savior. You just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins, and you rose on the third day. I ask you, Jesus, to be my best friend, and to give me your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me each day. And I thank you for your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you guys said that prayer, I'm so excited. All of heaven is rejoicing when one person makes that decision. And just know that if you didn't say that prayer and you're still thinking about it, rewatch the video when you are ready and say that prayer with us, because Jesus is waiting for you with open arms. Until then, we will see you tomorrow night.